The Whole Health Cure with Dr. Sharon Berquist, the podcast that brings you inspiration and skills for living a healthy and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Whole Health Cure podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist. On this podcast, we explore the science and provide inspiration and skills for living your happiest, most fulfilling, and healthiest life. If you want to bring more plant-based options to your school, work, or hospital menu, our guest today may be the person with whom you may want to connect. Rebecca Portman is a food and nutrition specialist with Forward Food, a program of the Humane Society of the United States, and partners with institutions looking to increase more plant-strong menu options into their programs. Many K-12 schools, universities, hospitals, the military, detention centers, and the like have a great interest in bringing more fruits, vegetables, and plant-based proteins to the center of the plate. Rebecca and her team of chefs, dietitians, offer a variety of free tools and resources to assist programs to implement sustainable, customized, plant-strong programs for each individual institution, including hands-on culinary training and education. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, so for the Forward Food program, how did that program start? Can you tell a little bit about the history of it?
Sure. About 6 or 7 years ago, my previous coworker, Christy Middleton, started reaching out to institutions across the country, and it was mostly at that time K-12 schools and school districts, about what they were doing to serve the kids at the schools more vegetarian or plant-based menu options. And then around, and she was kind of a one-woman show, and around 2015, she started bringing people onto her team to expand the program because she started hearing and seeing more and more interest about increasing plant-based options and vegetarian options on menus within institutional food service. So she started expanding the team, and at around 2015, Harvard University asked that our team come and help them figure out how to integrate more plant-based options onto their menus. And one of my other previous coworkers, Ken Botts, and one of our current chefs, Chef Wanda White, who had previously been at the University of North Texas, which was in the middle of cattle country. They had started actually the first vegan dining hall in the entire nation. And you think, wow, if they can do that in cattle country, anyone can do that anywhere. And it was such a hit. So Christy had them help her with the program that we did at Harvard, which was really where this Forward Food idea kind of started rolling out and expanding. That's when we really started looking at working with not just K-12 schools and school districts, but colleges and universities and hospitals and healthcare. We started working with the military, lots of different dining programs who were interested in increasing their plant-based menu options. And as you mentioned in my introduction, thank you for that, we do this through different resources that are available free to those institutions where we're able to go in and work with their staff and do hands-on culinary training with our chefs and our dietitians to help them learn how to cook with different plant-based foods, learn about different flavor profiles, the health and the environmental benefits of different plant-based menu options, how to market that to their students, how to make it look good, taste good, so that everybody wants to eat it. So we've been really expanding this program for a while now. And so we're currently not just in the United States, but we've expanded to Canada and Brazil and China and Mexico, and we're kind of all over the place now.
That's incredible. So over the span of just a few years, it's gone from a one-woman show to an international organization.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
That is phenomenal. I mean, it really speaks volumes about the interest in healthier eating options and sustainability.
Exactly. That's what's so exciting, is that the reason our program has grown so quickly is because we're seeing more and more demand, which is exciting on so many levels. You know, people are interested in this obviously for different reasons and different student populations or different staff at healthcare organizations or different dining managers. Everybody might be interested in it for a different reason and coming at it from a different level, but it's all adding up to where we're seeing more and more interest in adding these options.
Wow, that's great. So, you know, as a parent of three young children, you know, the area of getting food at schools healthier, you know, hits home. When a school contacts you, you know, for example, you know, let's say the school system my kids are in, how do y'all kind of connect with that team? And how does that process work when, you know, they tell you, hey, our food items aren't the healthiest, we're a big system for this county, please come help us. What happens next?
That's a great question. I'll give you an example, just of a training that we did this week. So we are in Warrenton County, which is, I live in Decatur, Georgia. This is about an hour and a half away, maybe towards Augusta. And so they had six different districts join us for the day for this training. And so we had about 80-something people there. And the way that this started was I originally contacted the food service director for Warren County School District. Okay. And my school district where we are, and my daughter is in City Schools of Decatur. So I'm not sure where are your kids?
We're in DeKalb County.
So we're both in DeKalb County. So this is Warrenton County where we were yesterday. And I had originally contacted the food service director who was in charge of Warren County School District to see if we could meet and just get to know each other and talk about what types of options he was offering the kids to try to increase fruit and vegetable consumption, because that is really a goal of all the school districts. We know, I mean, it's part of the mandate that they, for K through 12 schools and school districts, that they try to get the kids to eat more fruits and vegetables, right? And so everyone is interested in hearing ideas about how to do that. Anything novel or exciting, anything free for sure. And our program is free. And so that's always kind of a no-brainer for people to want to hear about. So we met, and this food service director just happens to have a lot of great things going on with having a beautiful garden on site. A lot of the schools around Georgia, in particular with Georgia Organics, are doing lots of farm to school type programs. And so we were able to talk about how Forward Food could help him integrate his farm to school initiatives with the dining operations at his school. And we discussed our training that we offer and that we could come in for free and work with his staff to help them learn how to cook with these different flavor profiles and ingredients. Because a lot of the people that we work with have never heard of some of these products or seen them, and many of them have not tasted them. Things like quinoa or tofu, sometimes even kale, right? And so we talk about how we can pull together a training for them. Usually it's on an in-service day because they have to offer professional learning days for their staff. And this happens not just at the K through 12 level, but at college and university. They have to have their in-service days, their professional learning days. So a lot of the trainings that we do help fill that niche of during that time when institutions must provide training or workshops for their staff. And so we talked about us coming in to do this on one of those days, which happened to be this week. It was on Tuesday. And so we coordinated a menu. We have over 100 recipes that were developed by our dietitian and chefs for K through 12 schools and school districts. And we have another data set of recipes for college, university, and different populations. So we go over recipes. We talk about different things that we want to work on during the day with their staff. We talk about timing and how we're going to begin the day with a presentation to lay the foundation for why we're doing this and what we're doing and why are we talking about plant-based and what is plant-based and what are we doing within our community and around the nation, and who's doing it and how they're doing it. So we kind of lay that foundation, and then we get in the kitchen with the staff and do hands-on cooking with them with different recipes. And then everybody plates them, and we sit around and eat everything that we made so that everybody can talk about what they made and think about what might work or not work within their schools and school districts, and what they might add to the menu that the kids might like, or do it, you know, what might be good to do a taste testing with the kids and that sort of thing. So that's kind of the process is, you know, I originally start conversation with either the food service director or the dietitian or the nutritionist, whoever is at that institution in charge of food service. And it goes from there in terms of talking about what a training might look like, because it might look different for every institution. We modify that based on the institution's needs.
Wow, that's such an incredible resource. And when you do the trainings, is there any follow-up of sorts to see, say, I don't know, 3 months later, at the end of the semester, did they adopt more plant-based? How did it go over with the kids? Is there any follow-up on that?
Absolutely. Yes, tracking and measuring is such a critical piece of our program. And so we like to get a sense of, prior to working with us, what kinds of vegetarian or plant-based options are they offering on their menus? What kind of demand is there at their particular institution for these types of options? And then we do follow up, you know, 6 months later, 1 year later. It's a continual relationship. And we, for instance, are going back to Cobb County School District for our second training with them this October. So we did one last year with their, and that happened with me talking with their food service director and her bringing us in for their service learning day. And she asked us to come back again this year because she's been integrating more options and she wants to educate and give this experience to her newer staff. And we also have several different types of trainings that we do. So we do kind of an overall general training. Then we do things like back to basics. So we talk about how to cook with specific different types of ingredients so that they're cooked the right way to make them taste good. Or we do certain trainings on beans and legumes called, we call it going garbanzo, you know, and different themes like that. So depending on what the districts want or the institutions.
Yeah,
so there's lots of follow-up and lots of continued work in collaboration. We often end up doing presentations at conferences together, at nutrition conferences. We end up doing district meeting workshops for things like school nutrition association meetings. We do a lot of work with different large companies with strategic partnerships that are ongoing. Those involve companies like Aramark and Sodexo and Compass Group. And we actually just rolled out in Nebraska about 2 weeks ago, new recipes that we developed along with Sodexo, which is one of the largest food service companies in the nation that serves many, many large institutions. And we rolled out lots of new plant-based recipes with them that they're now going to be offering to all of their clients across the nation. And part of that strategic partnership, which is ongoing, is that we do regional trainings for their clients utilizing these plant-based recipes. So there's lots of follow-up and lots of engagement on a continual basis with all of these different people that we work with.
Yeah, that's fabulous. You know, because on the one hand, you know, you hear so much about, you know, childhood obesity battles over just getting vending machines out of schools. Yet on the other hand, there's such support from these different school systems that you've been working with to actually change the menus, which, you know, is so impactful in the grand scheme of kind of getting ahead of the, you know, developing good healthy eating habits for kids early in life. In the kind of continuum of getting, you know, healthier habits, you know, for kids and adults, you know, do you feel like on that continuum, if we are at the start, we're near the tipping point, like where are we with this? It seems like there's so much interest. You've grown so much. And certainly if you read national headlines from Wall Street Journal on, you know, plant-based meat alternatives, you know, almond milk and non-dairy milk alternatives. These industries are just booming. Yet it's hard to get a sense of, you know, if you looked at the whole pie rather than these sectors that are booming, where are we? Like, have we gone from 3% to 5% or from 3% to 30% in terms of conversion to healthier eating?
Sure. Good question. And I think that we are at a stage right now where the trajectory is at such a steep incline that I think we'll be able to look at that in a few more years. Right now, I think we're at a high growth rate. Obviously, on our, you know, from our standpoint and perspective, the fact that we're having the trainings that we do, that we conduct around the country, have tripled, you know, within the last few years. Just the fact that there's that much interest in our program to help staff learn about how to make these foods and offer them to their students and their staff, and at hospitals and bringing for their patients, you know, and all of that. I think just within that growth that we've seen with the Forward Food Program, we know that's a clear indicator about the movement, the demand, the high demand for alternative types of nutrition than the standard American diet. I think that, you know, since the 2015 announcement from the World Health Organization that about, you know, processed meat being a type 1 carcinogen and red meat being a probable carcinogen, I think people are paying attention to that. The American Medical Association subsequently called on all the hospitals and healthcare organizations to try to eliminate processed meats from their menus and increase plant-based options for their visitors and their staff and their patients. You know, different people are really paying attention to what we're hearing from these different public health organizations and insurance companies and the leading institutions who are providing solid research. It was just this week, I think, that a new study was published out of Harvard about how a plant-based diet, a whole food plant-based diet can lead to, I think, a 23 or 26% reduced risk rate of developing type 2 diabetes. And so there's so much research coming out now on a weekly basis that we're hearing on the news. And then, like you said, in industry, we've got Tyson and Purdue, the largest meat producing companies in the country, are now invested in plant-based proteins. They either are producing their own plant-based proteins or they've invested in other companies doing so. So the fact that, you know, Burger King now has an Impossible Whopper
and White Castle, sold out.
And they sell out. And White Castle or Crystal, whatever you want to, I guess Crystal and White Castle are, I don't know if they're the same, but White Castle, I think they call it up north and maybe Crystal we call it here. you know, they now have a plant-based slider. I mean, it's just amazing what we're seeing in fast food restaurants. So, you know, these items are available. They're readily available to anyone and everyone on a large scale and at your fingertips. And so, you know, just like you said, seeing that in the industry and in research, and I think that that is playing a big part in why we're seeing this shift. We're, you know, just in Atlanta, I feel like 10 plant-based restaurants have opened up in the last few years just around here. So there are school districts out in California. Of course, everything starts in California, but, you know, there are some now that have completely eliminated processed meats from the menu, completely. We're doing things around Atlanta, like with Atlanta Public Schools. A couple of years ago, we did a completely plant-based, well, almost completely plant-based day celebrating Earth Day that was highlighted by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and it was a big hit. So, you know, we're really, this is something that we're making huge strides on, and I feel like we are we're still at an early stage to say at what percent we are. I think that we'll be able to assess that more accurately in another few years.
Yeah, definitely. And you have made huge strides. How are you able to do this at no cost to the organizations? How are you supported?
Our incredible donors, our incredible, generous, supportive donors. So we're a nonprofit organization, and this is what our donors give us money to do because they believe so strongly in our mission of providing these choices, and which is why tracking, you know, you're asking about follow-up, and that's a big part of this because they, of course, they want to see results and how are we making a difference, right? And so, you know, and tracking can sometimes be challenging because everybody's very busy and food service directors don't always have time to get back to us with data. You know, they're busy trying to feed our children and our staff, but this is certainly an important piece of it. And something that we try to provide for all of the generous people that are providing funds for us to do this. And some of it comes from grants as well, but the majority comes through donors.
Yeah. And you sound so incredibly passionate about the work that you do. How did you get involved?
I have always been interested in studying animal behavior. And through that kind of lifelong passion, I started going to conferences. And when I started going to conferences, I started learning about factory farming, which I had no idea about because I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and vegetarian was never a part of my vocabulary. I was eating fried chicken and cheeseburgers and lots of seafood. And, you know, this was culturally not something that I was exposed to, you know, vegetarian or plant-based or anything like that. And I certainly didn't know that there was anything like factory farming or industrialized farming systems, I would prefer to call it. I didn't know that existed. Like the majority of Americans, I thought that my chicken came from a grocery store wrapped in a package from the chicken on the Happy Farm, you know, and it just wasn't something I ever thought about. And I started learning about industrialized farming systems and the negative, really deleterious effects on the environment, what's happening in terms of habitat and land use and the expanded land use for growing the food to feed the animals on the farm. It's leading to more issues with carbon dioxide and greenhouse gas emissions. I started learning about all these environmental components, and then I started learning about the health components as well, about how my food affects me as an individual and how it leads to chronic disease if I'm not careful. And I started learning about all the basic tidbits. And when I started learning about the health implications of eating lots of animal-based products, which I did, I lived on cheese and yogurt. And when I started learning about that, I started making small changes. Nothing happened overnight. And I started noticing physical health differences that I knew were positive, very positive. And so for me, it was kind of multidimensional thinking about not just animals suffering on factory farms and the way they're housed and treated and everything else, but the environmental and the health concerns as well. So because it was really multidimensional for me, it started becoming kind of a given that my diet needed to change and what I chose to put on my plate was going to be different. And I started feeling better in every sense, spiritually, psychologically, health-wise, in every way when I started eating plant-based. And so that's how it all led into really exploring more of this as a career path. And I did an internship with Dr. Michael Greger. He's a public health specialist. Learn more about factory farming. I was writing white papers for him. And I learned more about the health aspects, and it just kind of grew and grew. And then this position popped up, and it was perfect to try to help other people have these options.
Right. Well, that's a great story. It's amazing how, you know, life kind of meanders and takes you down a certain path. And this has just been a great path because it benefits so many people. And, you know, we talked about K through 12. Are the trainings any different when you go into, you know, colleges, other organizations, companies? Are there differences in the whole process and implementation and training?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a culinary nutrition workshop that's geared more towards dietitians and wellness staff. And that goes into more great detail about the health components, the nutritionals, all of that. So there's a big educational component in the beginning where we do presentations on that and have discussion. And then we also get into the hands-on with them as well. And the recipes that we do with them might be different because they're generally a lot of in healthcare. And then for the college university sector, it's usually 2 days worth of training from early in the morning until early afternoon where we're with their chefs. And that's really chef-focused. And we do a whole different slew of types of recipes with them for college students. And that's more intensive with our chefs on our staff that are really leading more of the culinary skills that chefs, talk to with each other in the kitchen. And tips and tricks on cooking with plant-based ingredients. And then for K-12, it's a little bit simplified, I would say, because the K-12 schools and school districts have a lot of basic cooks that are on staff in their kitchen, not necessarily chefs with an extensive background in that. And the recipes are different, too, because they're standardized to meet the USDA criteria for nutritional components, which the college and the university don't have to be, or the healthcare don't have to be. So the recipes are different. We spend just about 2.5 to 3 hours generally with K through 12. And we do a general presentation, not so in depth about the nutritionals and all of that. And then get in the kitchen and cook with them.
Yeah. Well,
so it does look different for everybody.
Yeah, we're very excited to be having a Forward Food Symposium here at Emory University. Looking forward to that this fall. And is there anything you want to share with our audience? You know, as we're going along, I'm thinking, how do people learn about how to reach you, that you exist? Because it sounds like such a tremendous resource. And, you know, this is so, pun on the word, but forward thinking, really. That's probably how the name came about. To have an organization like Forward Food and, anything you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One is that I like to stress that for people, for institutions, that we don't try to talk about all or nothing. You know, it doesn't have to be black or white, that transitioning to more of these plant-based options is the approach that we like to take through different ways of slowly integrating these types of things into menus and lives. We find that to be a more sustainable way of doing things. And so a lot of people like to start with one day a week or one day a month or doing blends, focusing on reduction of animal-based products while increasing plant-based options and just, not feeling like it has, it has to be all or nothing or all at once. But in terms of how to reach me, I would love for people to, anyone who's interested in having, further conversation, I can be reached at rportman, that's R-P-O-R-T-M-A-N, at humanesociety.org, humane society is one word, .org. And our website is forwardfood.org, So anyone is welcome to go to our website and look at all of our free resources throughout the site. We also use hashtag forward food if anyone is on Twitter. And my Twitter is at rportman6. So those are different ways to reach out to me. And I'm on LinkedIn. I'm always happy for people to connect with me and with our program. And I'd be happy to talk with anyone that's interested in further conversation. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. And I do look so forward to the Leadership Symposium that you all are co-hosting with us at Emory on October 3rd. And we will hear from not only you, which we're really excited about, but also people within the healthcare dining operation and the university, Emory University dining operation. Then we'll also have a panel discussion where we'll be talking, I think people also from Georgia Tech Sustainability Division will be joining us and some other great folks. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time today and all the amazing work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
The Whole Health Cure is brought to you by Emory Lifestyle Medicine and Wellness. For more information about wellness assessments, classes, and other resources, please visit our website, emoryhealthcare.org/livewell. This material is copyrighted by Emory University.